Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Is this thing on? It's nice to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. It's great to see some new faces. It's great to see some old faces as well. And it's great to see some young faces. So it's a bit cold this morning, so I've got my hoodie on. So don't worry, I'm not trying to be like cool and gangster or anything. But if I look gangster, then you know what, so be it. So praise the Lord. So we've been going through the book of Romans this year. So we're up to Romans chapter 6, which I'll just read out. And it's interesting already that a lot of what's been said and prophesied this morning is about a new life in Christ, about how Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection, how it applies to us, how we've died with him, how we've been raised with him. So it's very applicable to this morning. So I'll just read this out, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get going. So it's from Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 14, for those of you who are following along. It says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And it's interesting here, the sort of the first part of this, Paul's talking, he's just telling the truths. He's speaking the truths of God. He's saying some incredible things like, you're no longer a slave to sin, you've been freed from sin, you're no longer under the power of sin, it has no longer has mastery over you, death has no power over you, had no power over Jesus, declaring these phenomenal truths of God actually. And then he goes on to talk about how we can apply it to our lives. And so let's just pray, and then we'll get started this morning. So Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here amongst us. And we thank you, Father, for the wonderful time of worship, Lord. And we thank you for your death on the cross for us, Jesus, that you've died for us, that you've raised to life for us, Lord, to give us everlasting life with you. We thank you, Father, for everybody here this morning. We ask that you would open every heart to hear your word and respond to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, it's interesting, actually. I don't know why you're here this morning, who invited you, or how you think you got here. On one level, on a practical level, that's one thing. But on a whole other level, actually, you know, the sovereignty of God is over everything. And you're not here by accident, you're not here by chance, or just any sort of accident of a human, what humans can, you know, conjure up or muster up. But I believe that you're here this morning just by Almighty God's sovereign choice. God bless you. You're here this morning because God wants you here to hear this message, I believe. And you know, Jesus is a savior. Jesus Christ loves sinners. He loves to save sinners like you and me. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. Every single human being, apart from Jesus Christ when he came, every single one of us is a sinner, is born a sinner, we practice sin, we're under the power of sin. We just can't help it. We're just sinful people. But actually, God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to take away all the punishment of all sin, of yours and mine, once and for all, so that if we step into him and if we repent of our sins and say, yeah, Lord, you know what? That's me. I'm a sinner. I've sinned, and I want your forgiveness. And then what happens is we come under something else. We come under the salvation of God. We come under God's love and blessing and grace and forgiveness. And we can experience that forgiveness. We can experience what it feels like to have our sin removed, to have our guilty conscience completely taken away, to be dead and buried once and for all, so that we can experience and have direct access and intimate relationship with God the Father. And there's only one way that it can come, and that's through the blood of Jesus. There's only one way that we can be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ, death on the cross, and through his blood. By coming to him as a sinner, as a repentant, humble human being, and just saying, yeah, Lord, that's me. I've done wrong, and I've sinned against you, and I need your forgiveness. Come into my life, Jesus. Forgive me. Cleanse me in your precious blood, and help me to live with you. Then we experience salvation. That's what it's called. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be saved. And that's what it means to be a Christian. So if you are here this morning and you're not sure, perhaps you're here and you don't know whether you're saved or not, but actually Jesus Christ wants to save you this morning. He wants to forgive you. That's why he's brought you here to hear this message, because he wants to remove your sin and come into a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. The first thing it says, if we have been united with him in his death. It's a good question to ask ourselves. It's a good question for each and every one of us this morning to ask ourselves. Ask yourself, sat here right now, have I been united with Christ in his death? Have I died to sin? Have I actually been raised to life with him again? Am I certain of my salvation? Am I absolutely sure that I'm saved? Am I sure that I'm right before God? Am I absolutely convinced beyond all doubt that I'm going to heaven when I die? That God absolutely loves me despite my failures? Am I certain of that? If we have been united with Christ, it's a very good question to ask yourself before we go any further. Yeah. Have I been united with Christ? Have I died to sin and been raised to life with him? I don't know if some of you were at the baptism service we had a couple of weeks ago. An absolutely phenomenal baptism service. And, you know, we have a pool of water over there, and people are plunged under the water and lifted back out again after a couple of hours. Just a second. But it's a symbolic act of what actually happens when you've put your life in Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is. It's a symbolic act of the decision you've already made when you've said yes to Jesus, repented of your sin, asked him to forgive you. Baptism is just an awesomely symbolic act of that. And this is what he's been talking about previously in this bit as well, about baptism. So when someone's plunged under the water, it's like a symbolic act of what's happened to them when they give their life to Jesus. They've died, they've been buried under the water. They've died with Christ. Their sinful nature has been crucified with Jesus on the cross. Boof, they've gone. They're dead. It's a spiritual thing. We don't really die, you know. Don't worry if you're hearing this kind of thing for the first time. It's a spiritual thing that happens. The sinful nature's died. Boof. It goes under the water. It's crucified with Jesus on the cross. And then they're lifted back out. A brand new life. A brand new heart. It's not like the same person comes back out of the water, obviously. No, it's not that weird. That would be pretty weird, wouldn't it? You know, you imagine you baptize someone, a black guy, comes up a white kid or a girl, or something. Huh? That would be a little strange. But as funny and as weird as that sounds, as that might be, spiritually, it's actually the truth. Spiritually, that happens when you give your life to Jesus. Here he's talking about baptism and salvation as one thing, because in the early church they got baptized as soon as they were saved. To give their life to Jesus and be baptized immediately, so that's why he's talking is one thing. But it's a symbolic act of what's happened when you give your life to Jesus. You died. You actually died to sin. You actually died on the cross with Jesus. When you plunge into that water, symbolic act, you died and then you raised life. a brand new life. I wonder if you've experienced that. Yet, you've experienced a brand new life, a brand new heart. It says in Ezekiel that, you know, God's promise is to remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. It's not like he changes it. He gives you a brand new one. a brand new heart, the heart that, you know, God, and he helps you to be who you created to be, who he wanted you to be, to live the life that he had planned for you from when he, before he created the world. You know, we're born into this world and we're into the sinful world. We make mistakes and we sin and fail and we end up, you know, going off and things don't go according to plan. We make mistakes. We're sinners by nature. But when we come to Jesus, when he's forgiven us of our sin, when we experience that death and resurrection, that sinful nature died. That sinful nature that we inherited from Adam has actually been put to death. Spiritually, it's actually happened so that when we raise to life with him, and then we come up out of that water symbolically, a brand new life, a brand new person. Have you been united with Christ in his death and resurrection? Are you a Christian? Are you absolutely certain that you're saved? Certainly, we will also be united with him in his resurrection. It's absolutely certain. And you know, it's nothing to do with our own performance or how we feel, or how good we are, or how bad we might be. It's absolutely nothing to do with that. It's all to do with the work of Jesus on the cross. It's everything to do with him and nothing to do with us. No matter how good you are, or you think you are, or you want to be, or aspire to be, or try to be, no matter how good you can see somebody else and think, wow, I want to be like them, I want to change myself, I want to be better. If you've ever tried that, you'll know that you actually can't do it, for starters. And also, if you could, it doesn't matter anyway because it's nothing to do with your performance. The only way you can be saved is by coming to Jesus and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And in that moment, he has mercy on you. He removes your sin. He gives you a brand new resurrected life with Jesus Christ. And it's important that we do this. You must be saved. You must give your life to Jesus. You must have your sins removed. You must be certain of this. I can have a bad day. I can still sin sometimes. I'm not perfect. I'm just human. But it doesn't matter. Not because it's nothing to do with my performance. All that matters is that when I was 13, I came to the front of a meeting and said, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. And at that moment, my sins were died. My sins were dead. They died with Jesus on the cross, and I was given a brand new life in that moment. So that I can still make mistakes sometimes, but it's no longer counted against me. Because when Jesus looks at me now, when God looks at me now, he just sees the blood of Jesus. The perfect, precious, spotless blood of his blameless son is on me and on you if you're a Christian. And that's what the Father sees, and that's how we're accepted. It's the only way we're accepted. It's the only decision in our life that actually matters, is that we do this. And you know, you'll know when you have. It's so important that we make that decision in our heart to just cut away from our sin and the things of this life and experience the grace of God and his resurrection. You know, I used to be a skydiver, and I did lots of skydives in my previous life. But on my third ever skydive jump, I had a malfunction on my parachute. And I jumped out of the airplane and I counted 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, you know, check parachute. And I was 4,000 feet in the air and everything was all small, miles away below me. And I looked up and I had a malfunction on my parachute. Like one of the lines had wrapped over the main parachute and it was like bulging in. It was like a bag of washing, you know. And it was supposed to be like big and rectangle, but it was all messed up. It was all entangled. And I was like, oh my goodness me. Like, I mean, I had something over my head, like some sort of material that was slowing me down a bit, but it wasn't, I couldn't control it. I couldn't land it safely. I was like weighing it up in the moment. I was like, well, if I like don't do anything, if I don't carry out some reserve drills, which you have, if I don't carry out these reserve drills, then I'm like, am I going to die? Am I going to live? Will I smash some bones, but will I live? You know, what if I carry out these emergency procedures and then what if my reserve parachute doesn't work? Then I'm absolutely dead. And I was like trying to weigh this up, you know, I was weighing it up. What do I do? What do I do? And I was like spinning round and round in the sky and I started to get faster and faster I was getting thrown around under this bag of material, like just like a rag doll, and I could see the blue of the sky in front of me 1 minute, 1 second, and then green of the ground in the same place the next second. And it was going, I was going round and round. I could see blue, green, faster and faster. And I was just totally out of control. But then I remembered these reserve procedures that they told us about before. And we have two handles, one there and one there. And in the reserve procedures, you pull one handle. And if you pull that, then it completely disconnects you from your malfunctioning main parachute. Sends you back totally free, falling. And then you can pull the other handle. And then that opens the reserve parachute. It's the last chance, you know, you've only got two, your main and your reserve. If that doesn't work, then that's it. So I was like wrestling with this, what do I do? Like, am I gonna die, will I live, will I break some bones? What if I carry out these reserve procedures and it doesn't work, you know, then I'm properly dead. And I was coming down faster and faster, closer to the ground. It was getting more and more dangerous. And there's this little voice in my helmet in the radio saying, think about your reserve drills, Sandy, think about your reserve drills. Because, you know, good old England health and safety, they're not supposed to tell you to carry out your reserve drills. That's helpful. Health and safety, great. But anyway, she was telling me, without telling me, in my ear, you know, through this radio, watching me on binoculars, watching someone coming down. Probably going to die, you know. And she was like, think about your reserve drills, think about your reserve drills, think about your reserve drills. She was like telling me without telling me, do you know what I mean? And you know, maybe this is like something of what you're feeling right now this morning. Maybe there's a voice in your ears saying, you know what, you need to disconnect from your old life. You need Jesus, you know. You need Jesus to save you. You know, God doesn't force his way upon you. He doesn't control you. He leaves you with free will. And he gives you the choice. He shows you and helps you and says, look, this is what you should do. But then he leaves the choice to you because he doesn't want to control you. He doesn't want to control anybody. He just wants you, loves you, and wants you to be saved through your own choice, which you can make. If you feel like you can't make that choice, then it's just not true. It's just a lie of the devil. But I was coming down under this parachute anyway, and I had all of these handles. I thought, I'm going to do it. So I thought, right, I'll pull the handle. And I was spinning around. So I pulled that first handle. And I just remember that feeling of like, being flung out back into the sky, away from that malfunctioning parachute, like, and I went faster. I started hearing the wind come again, even faster. I was like, ah, and then I pulled the other handle, and I heard the material opening behind me for a few seconds. I was like, please open, please open, please open, please open. And if it didn't open, I was dead. And then I looked up, and I was just hearing the last little flutter of the material open above me. Oh, and it was perfect, a perfect big rectangle white parachute. Oh, and I was so relieved. You know what? Jesus wants you and me to disconnect from our old life of sin. He wants us to make that decision where we come to him. And I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this to come forward to the front. And by coming forward to the front, you're saying, Lord, I want to do this. I want to disconnect from my old life. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins, and I believe that you died on the cross for me, and that you took the punishment for all my sins, and I want to step into that. I want to step under your grace and receive Jesus' forgiveness, receive your forgiveness, Lord. I want to receive it today, and by coming to the front, that's your prayer. Or if you've just went miles away from God, and you just... You know, you used to be a Christian or you used to come to church, but you've just drifted off and you're coming back. And if you want to make a similar decision, I'll give you an opportunity to do that as well, to recommit your life to Jesus. And you can walk to the front at the end of this meeting. And by doing that, you're saying, yeah, Lord, Jesus, that's me. I need forgiveness. I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. And then you have this certainty of this brand new life. It's absolute certainty. It's not like... Please, you know, please, please, please open, please open. It's he never fails. Jesus never fails. It can be so hard sometimes. We can wrestle with something. We can be holding on to something. And we think, well, what if I disconnect from this? What if I give this up then? What if, you know, Jesus doesn't come through for me? But actually, he always comes through. He always comes through for you. He loves you, and he always opens every single time. You know, when you give your life to Jesus, or when you did give your life to Jesus, and that old sinful nature was crucified to the cross, and we received this new heart. It's like, you know, the bulls, you know, where they have a bias towards one way, and you bowl them. If you can bowl them that way, they'll always come back this way. And this is like the sinful nature. This is like our sinful heart inherited through Adam. And no matter how good we try to be, no matter how good we how many times we try and turn over a new leaf, no matter how many good works we try to do, we always come back to failing. I'm a sinner, I can't do it. And we can't do it until Jesus gives us this new heart. When we come to him, he gives us this new heart. He gives us this new ball. And the bias is on the other side. And the bias is towards good and towards God. So even though we can still sometimes choose to make wrong decisions, we can still sometimes make mistakes and go that way, we always come back to God, we always come back to good. Maybe that's you this morning, maybe you've just went off and you just need to come back to God. You know, God absolutely loves you and he's not going to give up on you. You know, the truths in here, the truths of this word, the word of God, the Bible, is God-breathed, and everything in here is absolutely true. And you might believe something so strongly that's just contrary to this, but actually, this always has the final authority. God always has the final authority. His words should always have the authority over us. His words are true. And maybe you believe some lies. Maybe you believe some lies about yourself. And God just wants to tell you that he loves you, that he wants to save you, that you're totally forgiven. He wants you to be forgiven. And that sin has no power over you anymore. You can believe, actually, that sin has power over us. And apparently it doesn't. So when we make mistakes and fall and fail sometimes, we can just feel terrible, but actually it's easy to just get back up. When we remember, when we consider these truths, think about them, understand them, think about what he's actually saying, what God's done. Consider that you died. Think about it. You died. The sinful nature died. So you can't go on living in it any longer. And the Holy Spirit comes to help you when you give your life to Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, you can ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you and to help you and to give you power to overcome. Why don't we stand to our feet? Just going to have a little bit of prayer time. Just why don't you close your eyes and just focus on the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that you love us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your death on the cross that took away all of our sin. Thank you, Jesus, that we can be dead to sin. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray now that you would come and fill this room and fill and touch every single heart, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that death has no power over us anymore. Sin has no power over us anymore. Thank you, Father, that you are the truth. Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. And if that's you, anything I've said there about, you know you need forgiveness, and you know that you need Jesus, you know you need to be forgiven for your sin, and you want to experience the death to that old life of sin and a resurrected life with Jesus, not only a new life in this life, but also eternity in heaven. If you need salvation for your soul this morning, why don't you just walk to the front right now? If you're not absolutely certain that you were saved by the blood of Jesus, then why don't you walk to the front? And by doing so, you're saying,
Lord,
have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Come and give me a brand new life.